This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek back in the studio in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Emily Thompson from Wellington, Florida, and you are listening to a special jumping edition of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for May 3rd, 2016, episode 1420, brought to you today by S Equestrian and Walsh Products. Good morning, horse world.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's Tuesday.
It's top-class show jumping at the very best.
Every horse is different, and you've got to be able to understand and read each different horse.
Remember, we're looking for those clears in this round to go forward to the jump off.
You can't ask for anything more. It's just pure theatre.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Emily is here the first Tuesday of every month with the jumping episode, and we are back in the studio after our travels home from Lexington, Kentucky. It's good to be back in Florida, although I will say we're a little dry here, and of course, Lexington is like emerald green. I got to tell you, Emily, every time we lived there for 4 years, but when we go back now, you forget just how green Lexington is. It's really, really green.
That's right. I forgot you all lived out there.
Yeah. We lived there for 4 years. And every time we go back, it's just like, wow, there's a reason it's called like the bluegrass state.
Yeah.
It's because the grass is different. It's just, it's kind of got this emerald quality to it.
Oh, that's so nice. Nice for baby horses.
And of course, it rained like crazy, and it has been. So, this.
Their grass
is actually being watered. So that helps.
Yeah, really. And you were gone for a while. How long were you there for?
The whole trip's almost a week.
Wow.
Do that. So this is our first live show in a week, and we're glad to be back. And I will say this right up front, and I'll mention it later in the show too, the Horse Radio Network phone app for the iPhone has an update available. And it, one, updates all the shows and gets our newest show, the Rodeo Marketing Show, on there. And two, allows you to live stream for the first time the morning show and any live events that we have right from your phone. Now, you're going to have an internet connection, or you're going to have good Wi-Fi, or you're going to have a good signal to get it. If you don't have a good phone signal, you're not going to get the streaming. It's going to cut in and out on you. But otherwise, if you're on Wi-Fi or if you have a good phone signal, you'll be able to listen to us. Shouldn't be any problem. I have several of our auditors listening this morning going to be reporting in whether it's actually working. So
oh,
we don't have
cool.
an iPhone, so we can't test it. So we both have Android phones. The Android app, in case you're wondering, will be updated over the next week or so. It's been submitted. We're just waiting for approval, and then it'll go out. So you'll also have the same technology. You'll also be able to listen to the Horses in the Morning live, and then any of the live feeds like the Radiothon. You'd be able to listen live. I would recommend 12 hours if you're going to listen live for the Radiothon. Make sure you're on Wi-Fi, or you will eat up your data.
That's so cool that you're going to have those apps, though. I mean, everyone that tunes in loves it. You know, I kind of am like at the horse shows. So I'm dealing with people who are horse showing most of the time, and they love the idea. They've maybe listened to one or two recorded, but they want like easy access. Like, how do I listen? This is so perfect.
Yeah, it really will be nice to have it on there. And thanks to Mixlr, who's our live feed company, they've allowed us to do that now and provided the technology to do that. We didn't have that before. So
that's awesome.
We're able to do it, and we're excited about that, especially for all the live events that we're going to have coming up, too.
That's so cool.
And Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
Today, on the S Equestrian Jumping Tuesday, brought to you by Walsh Products, we'll start with the morning news, as usual, with Noelle Floyd's Erin Gilmore, and then followed up by Shelley Fisher, and she's going to give us the lowdown on managing your show ring string. After the break, Jose Rivera from Easy Up Stalls is going to up the ante on the convenience of using portable stalls. and then galloping full tilt through the finish flags, Leslie from Walsh Products has her product pick of the month. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. You know, we were at Rolex, and I posted a video this morning of Lainey Ashker's helmet cam ride of the cross country. And you're a jumper, and you and I found out before the show you've never been to Rolex. We have to drag your little butt up there next year.
Oh my God, you're blowing up my spot. It's an embarrassment.
You're coming next year to the show with us.
I know. I want to go. It's like such a nightmare. I always want to go. I'm like, okay, this is Kentucky now. Like, this is like the real deal, you know, National Horse Show, whatever. And it just keeps not happening for me. This year, I thought for sure, because the clothing line was going out for IHSA and IEA, and then there was the spring circuit. I thought I'll bring a couple horses and then Rolex. I was sure. I was like, this is the year.
You're tiny. We'll put you in our luggage and we'll get a rollaway bed for the hotel room. You'll be fine.
They'll never know I'm gone. Oh my God. Next year, Rolex.
Well, you know, it's funny because Mary Kitzmiller's never been there. Our western side has never been there either. And we're like, okay, next year we're just going to all have to go to Rolex and we're going to show you Rolex virgins around.
it's shameful. It's been going on so long.
Now, Jennifer, who spent more money, you or me? I might have. We're close.
I think we're pretty much neck and neck. Yeah. You did some serious shopping, though.
I did. I actually think I spent more than Jennifer. I bought some of the Ovation country boots. So,
oh yeah,
they're really nice. And thank God I had those
with
for.
The cool-
yeah, thank yeah, God I had those stuff. for cross country day and the wet. My feet weren't wet at all, and it was so funny, Emily, because you know which ones I'm talking about—the tall dewberry.
Yeah.
Well, I kept walking through every puddle and mud puddle and
just
water
rubbing
thing
it in.
I could find. It was so nice.
I've got superior foot gear.
Yes, that's right. I just kept walking through everything. Like my feet
that's
are
so
dry.
Funny. Yeah, I've heard people like that the shopping is outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
Like people
and there
go
were a lot of
just
bags.
To shop.
I talked to a few vendors who said they were doing very well. So
that's good.
You know, even cross country day, there were 35,000 people showed up in the pouring down rain all day to watch cross country. So
wow. So yeah, I'm watching your video. I saw your post.
Oh yeah, for Lainey Ashker's helmet cam.
Yeah, that
is
so
fake,
cool.
Like a video game almost. When
totally.
You see but you know,
yeah,
one
yeah.
of the things I want everybody to do, and you can probably explain this better than me, but because it's a helmet cam, it turns with where the rider is looking. And one of the things you're going to notice is that she's always looking at the next jump. She's always looking at the next spot, and you can really see that. Here, where somebody who doesn't know about riding would notice that. But if you think about it, when you're watching it, you're going to see she's always looking at the next spot.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And you can really get a feel for the course too, the footing and the speed. That's really incredible.
What you don't get a feel for, I think, with the helmet cams, and Jennifer, I don't know if you feel this way, is the size of the jumps. You almost don't get a feel for the size of the jumps when you're watching the helmet cams.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, the one
yeah,
jump.
Definitely.
I mean, we were standing beside it. You're looking up. I mean, straight up at the horse jumping the jump. I mean,
wow.
At some of these tables, Emily, are like 6 feet wide.
It's so outrageous. I know when I see the pictures, I'm like, what are they doing? They're so big and wide. Like, don't do it.
Now, Marilyn Little has a double life as an eventer and a jumper. Would you ever try eventing?
I do look at the pictures and I'm just like, I really don't think so. Like, I just don't think so. And I'm like, I'm not, you know, shy on heart in the ring at all. I don't know. And she's unbelievable because she'll come and win over at our big shows and then go over in like the same week. I mean, I'll see them because they're down here in Wellington and they'll be loading up the truck and trailer there on the showgrounds or like swapping horses and stuff and taking the eventers onto an event like later in the week.
She
it's
had
unbelievable.
A rough time at cross country. Her horse, I don't know, he just looked tired and then she did come off at one of the jumps. It was her that came off, right, Jennifer? At one of the, yeah.
Yes. She didn't come off. They did a face plant together.
Yeah, they kind of face planted. But, I mean, the horse was fine. She was fine. Air airbag deployed and everybody was good. But you could tell that horse was a little tired going in. So I don't know.
It wasn't having a good day for some reason.
There was something
I'm sure we'll hear more about that later.
Yeah,
but everybody get up and
And there wasn't anybody hurt.
That's good.
No horses hurt. It was a good day considering the footing, you know, or the footing was actually held up considering the rain.
But the rain, yeah, you can see on that video. I mean, that's
and it did that all day. It was so funny because it started raining. It was cloudy and overcast. We walked out to jump one about 10 o'clock. About 5 minutes to 10, it started raining before the first ride went out. About 5 minutes before the first rider. And it quit about 5 minutes after the last rider.
Oh, my gosh.
So everybody had the even playing field.
It was equal.
Yes, that's right.
That's rare. So we can at least say that.
Well, you know, in show jumping, you're in a class that has 80 rides and you're in the beginning of the class and you have no rain and then it downpours for your ride, right?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't seem fair, does it?
No, totally. Yeah. And it's just like, I mean, you just have to make that call. Like for our horses, it's so, I mean, the eventing, I'm sure that they're also evaluating the footing, but ours are, it's such a careful obstacle, you know, whereas the eventers are very forward. And for us, it's like really very important how they balance and their footing, how careful they can be off the ground and then how high they can jump and all this. I don't know if it's a higher factor of slipping or whatever, but people are very cautious with the footing these days for the jumping.
Well, unlike cross country, the horses, by the time they get to that 4-star level, completely understand the task at hand. They realize that they can literally, in some cases, slide over the jump.
Oh my God.
You know,
so it sounds so scary.
And it was funny because you've walked past some of the bigger logs on the course, particularly the logs that have a drop on the landing side, and the front surface and towards the top of these logs, which are 3 or 4 feet in diameter and then raised up off the ground, you'd see all the eventing grease. It looked like they'd been buttered with a butter knife when the horses slushed over them.
We did have some listeners asking about that. What was the white stuff on their legs? That is eventing grease, and that is so that their legs will slide over the jumps easier.
That's so wild.
And frequently they use a particular product that has ingredients in it so that if the horse gets any minuscule little scratches, it has a protective effect on their system to keep it less likely that they might get a boo-boo that would hurt. So it's designed specifically for that. Back in the day, they used to just buy giant containers of Vaseline and slime that all over them. Don't you think that was a lot of fun to get cleaned off for the jog the next morning?
You know what was really cool, Emily, though, was those giant containers of Vaseline looked just like the Vaseline, little Vaseline containers.
Oh, really?
No, they didn't. Just kidding.
That's that would be funny. I don't know. I thought that was great, too. Wow. That's like the miniature ones they sell. I get excited about that. That's so cool. But they're teeny tiny, like the size of a quarter.
You know what would be worse, Emily, is you'd have to learn dressage.
Oh, I know. Should or not, I actually do know dressage because I had to go. I'm not, you know, any champion or anything, but I do. I went to Germany to study through the FN, through their organization, German Federation. You have to be certified. Like if I wanted to get my credentials, my license to be able to compete over there without asking permission from the Federation, like a German, which I did. And I just was interested in the show jumping. They're like, that's great. You'll test out one level below in dressage. I was like, really? That sounds terrible.
And
the first week I was like, I'll never get it. There's no hope. And then we started getting it and then it was good. And I actually got good scores on my exams. I'm going back this September actually to get my final license for the top sport show jumping and then one level. It'll be Grand Prix show jumping and then one level below in dressage. So I have to learn how to use a double bridle, which I need to brush up on.
Are you going to be piaffing and passaging on purpose?
Oh gosh, who knows? I know. I mean, I'm just like, I mean, I haven't practiced at all.
I know you've done a lot of piaffing and passaging, not on purpose, but.
Oh yeah. Right. With the baby horses. Yeah. That's consistent. That's always guaranteed.
Speaking of which, you're staying in Wellington this year, a little different for you.
I am. It's so different. Everybody, it's so funny when I talk to people and tell them, it's about maybe like 50-50. Some people, I mean, just the look of horror. Oh gosh, but it's going to be so hot. What are you going to do? I mean, people freak out and then they make me freak out a little bit. I'm like, I don't know, because this person is like, you know, a credentialed, qualified show jumper and they're freaking out. So maybe I'm making a big mistake here because I've never done it before. I do come down very early and I leave very late, but I've got the breeding horses. I have a couple mares falling outside breeding season and then some of my own sales horses that are younger. And, you know, it just makes more sense to develop them down here because the horse show continues. And I do know quite a few people who do live here year round. So in my head, I'm like, well, they're still alive every time that I come back, you know, for the fall circuit in Wellington. They look fine. Their horses are fine. So it's possible. But there's a network of people down here. And they say, you know what? It's not a big deal. You just modify your training program. You get up early. You know, get the, even the showing is early because there's not as many entries, but the showing continues. They move it across the street over by the global facility and you get to compete under the covered indoor. So
I think a lot of people don't think that there isn't any showing at all there, you know, after the winter season leaves. But, you know, I'm glad, you know, it's going to be kind of nice. You've been a nomad and a gypsy all your life. So it's going to be kind of nice to hang out one place for a little while and we can come down and visit you.
I know. No, exactly.
We can go to the beach. It's right there.
The beach is close. Exactly. Yeah. And the way things are shaping up with the heat, it was like 90 yesterday. I mean, we'll just get up super early. I've got 13 horses here. We can get them all done in the morning.
I know what's going to happen. I know you, Emily. It's going to be work the horses till about 10, and you'll be on the beach at 11 with martinis and fruity drinks, and you'll be there till about 4, and then you'll come back and work the horses again. And the second batch of horses, it'll just be a little mellower.
Well, exactly. I can't wait. I mean, you know me. I love the beach. Like, how could this be any better? I start just ignoring the people who freak out back at me when I tell them, when they're like, "So where are you going next?" I'm like, "Nowhere. I'm moving over to the covered indoor," and then they freak out, and I'm impervious now. I'm like, "No. There's the beach. There's plenty of people that survive the summer here. Their horses look fine. We're doing it."
All right. I'm getting early reports in it. It looks like Kelly said the new live stream on the iPhone was super easy to use and is working beautifully. And many other people are reporting working on my end as well. It works. I just started listening. So there we go. Somebody asked about push notifications, and what that means is that your phone would actually notify you, okay, we're about to go on an air in a minute. We're working on how that's going to work. Our terrific, wonderful developer is working on that. I was picking on him a little bit in a show last week, and I didn't know, Emily, that his wife listens every day. So,
oh,
hello.
Really? That's great. We like that.
So his wonderful wife listens every day, and tell him that I'm saying glowing things about him today. I was just messing with him last week. And he's working on push notifications, so we're hoping to add that as well, which would be nice when we especially do, you know, people kind of know we're on at 9 o'clock in the morning, but when we do live events and events at shows and things, then that'll be a big help. So we're working on all of that. So thank you guys for reporting in and let me know that it works.
Super.
All right, our first guest is ready.
Yay! We have Aaron Gilmore from Noel Floyd giving us the news. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thanks, guys. It's good to be here. How's it going?
It's going. We're a little tired.
Are you riding?
Are you having some Rolex hangovers?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. All right. Understandable. It was an exciting weekend, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Were you there?
No, I was watching from the comfort of my live stream in Florida.
You know, you were a lot drier that way, Erin.
Yes, I'm sure I was from the looks of it. It looked like an amazing weekend, though.
It always is. Rolex is always a lot of fun, and we spent lots of money, which is all the other thing you do at Rolex. So,
okay,
but it's worth it. It sounds like the shopping, exactly. So, Erin, you're in Florida?
I am in Florida for a few more hours. You're catching me at a good time. The traveling has started already, and tonight. I fly to London tonight for the summer.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's exciting.
Yeah, show jumping full on from here. It's very exciting. It's sort of the moment before the next shoe drops as far as what's going on with us, because now the observation events will start for the Olympics. Things will get really serious over in Europe. The Olympic teams are going to start to kind of get shuffled out in the next few months. So, and I'll be there for all of it. Actually,
okay, I got a stupid question, but I have to ask it.
Ask away.
Because I think of this every time I see you, because you're always so well-dressed and everything. How the hell do you pack
the
clothes for a four-month excursion around the world like you do every
year? You
know
what? When I was packing, I almost took a picture of before and after, and I didn't do it, so now I regret that. But I got some vacuum bags, and they are magic.
Oh, really? Is that how you do it?
That's right. That's my secret.
Because wow. You have your daytime clothes and then you're always going out, you're like dresses and all this stuff and all the different shoes and everything.
Okay,
and that all takes room. And I just didn't know how you packed all that stuff.
Magic.
It does. I can't say I'm always going out necessarily, but you get the basics down, Glenn, and you're ready to go. So.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah,
and
those vacuum
it's only 3 months this year. Three months of nothing.
So that's all.
Like a long weekend away.
Long weekend, exactly, of course. No one will miss me.
Right.
That's great. That's
but,
awesome.
It'll be exciting. Everything's quieted down now in Florida. The riders are mostly all gone from here. And if they're not going up to Kentucky and try on, they're going overseas to go to the five-star circuit there.
Aaron, can you kind of explain for us, and this is for any of the teams in the United States or whoever, what's the order of events leading up to Rio now for the jumpers?
Well, now our shortlist has been chosen. So we know the top 12, 15 riders that are in contention. Now they have to go compete at a couple observation events that are 4 dates in Europe from the first one's in a couple weeks, and then the last one is in July, and the final team gets picked middle of July, and then they all hang tight and fly to Rio probably a week before the game start. The equestrian starts around August 6th, and Shotokin is last. So,
wow.
It's a short timetable from here. Yeah, and that is the same for eventing and dressage.
Now, they're selected, and I hope this isn't too stupid a question either, but they're selected, the horses are selected as well as the riders. If one of the riders' horses is bugged out for some reason, gets hurt or whatever, can they put in another horse, or are they, the pair is out?
The pair is out, and if you're Kent Farrington, you have multiple options, and you could choose another horse if another horse is going better. If you're someone like Callan Solem, who's on the team for the first time and has really done an amazing job with her horse, VDL Wizard. Now, if that horse happens to go out of contention, then she would be out of luck. So it sort of depends on who you are and what your string looks like. The selectors did, if you go down the list, they selected a couple people, like BZ Madden, okay? She's got two horses to go to the Olympics with, two horses at least. And same with Kent, and same with McLean Ward. But others are only looking at one horse, one rider in contention.
Now, you mentioned, what was her name again, the one?
Callan.
Callan Solem, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there any others that are like her that are coming up for the first time? The big leagues?
We've got a lot of veterans this time. Lucy Davis is another one. This will be her first time in real contention for the Olympic team. And she's younger. Callan is a professional, and she's, I believe, in her late 30s. For her, this is a real career-making moment. It's what you work for years and years. So I personally really hope that she goes to Europe and knocks everyone's socks off and gets on the team. We're really just looking at one spot at this point, because McLean Ward, BZ Madden, and Kent Farrington are kind of locks. I don't want to jinx them, but they're looking really, really solid. So,
how do we look in comparison? I always ask this question every year. How do we look in comparison to everybody else?
That's a great question. That's a really great question. I think we're looking way better than we looked 4 years ago for London. We've got three of those riders I just mentioned, are all in the top 10, 15 in the world, I believe. And they're all just going strong. They've got great horses, and they can stand up there with the Dutch team, who always is a powerhouse, and the Germans, who are incredibly strong no matter who they have on their team. So we're looking, you know what, Shotokin, we're looking great. We've got a really good chance this time, as long as everything goes well for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, that is really exciting. And it does feel like such a short timeline, all of these things jam-packed into a short timeline.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm at the edge of my seat, because it's called the, you know, short list, but it's quite a long list of
riders. Exactly. It is. I don't know who named it the short list. It is pretty long.
I know. I was like, wait a minute, this is actually long. But they're so, they're such top riders, and we get to watch most of them here in Wellington all season, and they are there. It's going to be very interesting.
It will be, and I hope I can keep sort of getting that information out on how they're doing and provide, you know, good coverage of the observation events, that the process is clear. Because you want everyone to understand where people are ranked and what's going to happen next. I think that's really important to get everyone behind, you know, the success of the team. So keep checking on NoelleFloyd.com. That's the show jumping website I'll be reporting for in Europe all summer.
And who was, remind me who won in London, the individual.
Sorry?
Remind me who won in London, individual.
That would be Steve Gerdat of Switzerland.
Okay.
The current individual Olympic champion and also the current World Cup champion. He just won the World Cup a month ago for the second time in 2 years. So he's our small version of Mikael Jung.
So he's definitely going in the hands-on favorite here.
I wouldn't call him the hands-on favorite, but I would call him a super strong contender. Yeah. Anything can happen. But yeah, Steve is always a threat.
So it's not like Mikael Jung, actually, because he's just, you know, going to win it.
Well, I think this weekend, Mikael Jung just took us all to a different level completely. So there's nobody in show jumping that I would put on equal ground with that guy. There's a lot of show jumpers that are very, very, very strong and equal with each other. So it'll make it really exciting.
Well, it's interesting too, because the different experience levels of the horses, you know, and like you mentioned with, like, for example, Callan with VDL Wizard, super horse, great partnership. She's just got the one, but it does have experience. And then you've got, you know, some of these other riders that maybe have younger horses. They are older. Like I believe Todd Minicus is on the list with Babalu.
Yep, and he is. Yep.
That's a super mare, but maybe not tons of experience.
Exactly. And it depends on it's the pair. Steve won the World Cup this year on a horse that last year he was calling Green. And this year he won the World Cup final. So
you never know, right?
It depends on the rider.
Yes. Yes, exactly. If you're Steve, you can win the World Cup on a green horse.
Any of the latest word, Aaron, on whether Rio is ready?
I think that depends on who you talk to. I've still got my reservations, but I'm a little overly paranoid about things. It's hard to get information from the group down there, but the group up here, John Madden and Youssef, they seem pretty confident that it'll go okay. You know, they've had their own scouts going down there for months. The owners of the horses have had people going down there to check things out personally at their own expense. So there's been a lot of looking into it that way. And as far as the horse facilities, I'm sure it will be an adventure. I will say that.
Okay, cool.
That's so wild. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Very
yeah. if there's internet in August, you can check in with me and I'll give you the on the ground.
Well,
report.
You know what?
Oh, perfect.
You're a journalist, you're a reporter, and now a radio personality. It'll just give you stories to tell. You'll just have all these fun stories to tell.
Any which way it goes.
Yeah, that's one thing about show jumping I always say is they always give me things to write about.
That's right.
That's so great. Yeah, well, we'll be definitely checking in.
The armed escorts to the grounds and all that stuff, you know. It'll be stories.
Oh,
yeah, that's not so far from the truth, Glenn.
No, I know. I wasn't kidding.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, even for the journalists.
Yeah, the journalists I was talking to this weekend, because there are about 150 journalists at Rolex every year, and I was talking to a bunch of them that are going to Rio, and some that are not going because of the health situation. They're younger, and they're in their childbearing years, and they're just not going to risk it. They're just not going to go. So, you know, all of them were like, okay, we're concerned about, you know, security of getting from the house we rented to the grounds, and everybody's thinking about that this year more than certainly not like London, right?
No, not like London, where the big drama was don't mess up the grass in Greenwich Park.
And which alcohol do we drink for breakfast? You know,
yes, right. That was definitely my problem. No,
Bloody Mary, duh.
Thank you, Aaron. Get the website.
Thanks,
again.
Aaron.
You're welcome. It's always great to talk to you guys.
It's NoelleFloyd.com, NoelleE Floyd.com. It's where you can find all of Aaron's work. Thanks, Aaron.
Safe travels.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, have fun.
Thanks. Okay.
I always like it. We've had her on too when she's been traveling in Europe, and she always comes from like some exotic location. Sometimes she's in a bar, you know, or overlooking the Thames, or you know, just something exotic every time we have her on. So
That's
keep
so
getting
cool.
her on every month. That should be fun.
I know. She's really, and she travels so much. It's just such a treat to hear.
If you follow her on Facebook, you're always seeing these pictures from exotic locations. You know, she really does have a cool job.
Totally. Yep. And she's great at it.
Yes, she
is
really good.
She really grabs all the right stuff, and she's fun to talk to. I love it. It's perfect.
Well, Walsh's exclusive training line is designed and used by top riders around the world. Each product is handcrafted using English bridle leather, yachting-grade rope, and stainless steel hardware, from gag cheeks to surcingles, draw reins, and curb chains. For all of your everyday training needs, Walsh has you covered. Go to walshproducts.com. They were there over the weekend. I got to meet up with them, and they had their products there, and I think they were doing very well. Walsh has always been known for years and years and years in the standardbred racing side, and I'm glad that all of their products now are getting more well-known in the jumping and eventing worlds, because it is quality, quality stuff. WalshProducts.com. If you're looking for anything, take a look there first. And you can find them also at quality retailers around the country, online and in person. We are ready.
Well, we have our next guest is one of my favorite people, someone I've actually known for a long time, is Shelley Fisher, who has been a barn manager at some of the top hunter jumper facilities, barns in the country. Welcome to the show, Shelley.
Hi.
Yay, you
How
made it.
How are you? Good morning.
We're good. I know. I said, Shelley, you have to come on. It's so interesting. You're going to be so good. And it took a minute. There was a little back and forth, but here she is. She's here.
It's fine. It's just us. You're good.
Well, thank you for having
Nobody's listening at all.
Yeah, nobody. No. It's just us.
It's just us.
It's a closed group.
Well, that's good.
It's a closed radio group. We only allow special people in.
Oh, so Shelley's, but you're in Maryland now, correct?
Yes. So yep. Just above Baltimore.
Okay. It's pony country there.
Yes. Yeah, we just had Maryland Hunt Cup last weekend, so that's a big deal here.
How did that go? Did you go?
I did not.
Okay.
I did watch the video, though, and for me, the horse that won was amazing. It led for several lengths, and I mean, it seemed like it got every jump out of stride.
And still won.
So.
That's cool. Well, when I knew Shelley when I was a kid.
Interesting story.
Yeah.
There was a pony that was actually a lead pony for one of the ace horses. That, it's a pretty interesting story. It's been on Facebook, and it's going to be in the Paisley Magazine this month. So I have to look for that story.
Check it out. Yeah, that's the other thing I want to bring that up that Shelley does is she's working with the Paisley Pony. That's what it's called, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. It's cute. I see them on Facebook and all the posts, and they really keep up to date with the news and what's going on and the ads. Tell us just a minute about that.
Well, we're basically a pony magazine, and the kids are great. You know, anybody that wants to send in photos, we have a section for that free, who's doing what. And, the kids are just wonderful. They're really cute, and we want to be a kid-friendly magazine, and we're all about ponies, Welsh ponies, cobs, anything that's pony-sized.
Well, it is cool. And you guys are on Facebook, right?
Yes. Facebook, Instagram, all of it.
What is it on Facebook? I've been seeing several Paisley ponies. I want to make sure I get the right one.
Well, it's the Paisley Magazine on Facebook.
Okay.
And on Instagram, also the Paisley Magazine. But you're right. There is several Paisley ponies.
Yeah, there is. And it's all crafty stuff, it looks like. All right, yep. I found you on Facebook. It is The Paisley Magazine. So I just
there you go. Share that. Yep.
And I'm a pony person. I drive a Hackney
That's
pony.
Right.
I'm a pony guy. I have to send you a picture.
Right.
That's right.
You should, yes.
To send you a picture of me and
Definitely.
My pony. He's the most famous pony in the world.
Exactly. Right
now, so. Scooter.
That's great.
That's so funny.
We need more of that kind of stuff.
All right, I'll definitely do that because I'm proud of my pony.
Yeah, you should, for sure. We want a picture of Scooter in The Paisley Magazine.
That's right.
With all the kids.
He's a rescue too, so there's a backstory to it.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'll definitely
be
in touch.
We're always looking for good stories.
All right. Well, he's a good story.
You know, fun things for people to read.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he is.
And his video now is over 9 million views. It just keeps going. It's the video of him rolling in the water. Is if you saw a video of, on Facebook of a pony rolling in the water, it's over 9 million views now. It's just the craziest thing. I don't know.
I love that.
He's famous.
He is. He's more famous than us.
I know, right? Sure. We're going to come hang out with Scooter more.
All right, yeah, you can talk.
Okay, so back to it. So when I knew Shelly as a kid, I've actually known Shelly a very long time, and she has worked at a couple top hunter-jumper farms that I have ridden at or been riding alongside. But that was, I guess, really the first time that we met was up in Greenwich, Connecticut. You've traveled around. You've been in quite a few places. But just to start, I thought it would be so interesting for people to hear what all goes into managing one of these top operations. For example, the one that we were at together when I was a junior, you know, that was a lot of horses. You had a lot of horses to manage. Even I understood that as a teenager.
We had, what do we have? We have two different buildings and actually three separate areas, so to speak. There's about 60 horses, I believe, in total. You know, from little ones to big ones, to jumpers, hunters, kids, adults, old ladies.
Crazy. So young horses, old horses, everything. Minis, zebra.
Zebra.
That was always a problem.
We had it all.
So when you were, you know, by title barn manager, correct?
Yes. Yes. And that is a interesting title. It should be a jack of all trades instead of barn manager. You really have to be able to do anything and everything. You know, you have to be able to organize. You have to be able to lead the group. You have to be able to understand what the customers want, what the trainers want. You have to know all the horses. You have to be able to do the horses yourself. You know, most people that work under you will not respect you if you cannot do what they can do and do it better.
Yeah, because you are managing a large staff as well.
Yeah, we had probably about somewhere from 15 to 18 people.
Oh my God.
As far as grooms. And then there were certain ones that rode. We had three trainers. One side of it was strictly the main professional, Peter Leone. And the others were customers. And then we had a whole nother barn that was another trainer's area. And that was customers there too.
Wow. And then everybody on different schedules, I remember. You know, this horse show, people are going here, these people are staying home. Yeah. This was before barnmanager.com or smartphones and stuff. I mean, how did you really, you ran a tight ship. I will tell you, those horses over there never looked better. Everywhere that you've been, the horses always look immaculate.
Well, I had a lot of good people underneath of me. Yeah, I had a lot of good people underneath of me. Since we had three different trainers, we had the capability of being at three different horse shows.
But how did you track? Did you have spreadsheets? How did you track everything? And, you know, getting down to nitty gritty here, how did you make sure everybody was in the right place? The papers were filed, all of that stuff was done. How did you do
She's
it?
She's magic.
yes, magic. I had a main horse list, which I worked off of. Each trainer was responsible for certain horses, and they would then tell me, okay, we're going to take these horses to the horse show. So I then organized that. I had a folder for each horse show. If we were doing three horse shows, I had three folders. And it basically had what horses were going. I would make a list of what stuff needed to get packed. And I had a go-to person that was sort of like a top groom that was going to go to that horse show. And I would take the list out and I'd say, here, can you start packing this stuff? And then once they thought they had it together, I would go out and check through it and make sure we had everything. And off we went. If I was away at a horse show and I was always on the phone to home, usually I had one really, really good person at home that I could call and knew what was going on. So yeah, it was a lot.
Well, and then even just organizing the shipping. I mean,
yes, That was also hard. We had our own truck, which made it easier. We did use, obviously, our truck couldn't be in three places at once. So we did use other shippers. And, you know, I would just call them and tell them what time we needed to leave, how many were going, and where we were going. And since we had one that we worked with regularly, they were very accommodating.
Now, did you also send the food with each horse and have to keep track of food and supplements and all that stuff? That all had to be tracked too, right?
Yes, to a certain extent, yes. Most horse shows offer hay and grain. There are some horse shows that offer things that you don't really feed to your horses, so you do take your own. You have some horses that need special things. So you do carry that with you, and you have to make sure you have enough for the whole time or you can get it in the area. All the horses had supplements of some sort. You know, we catered, each horse had a different program, and not all of them need to be on the same supplement. So it was kind of catered to each horse. So we would take the supplements, and I knew who got what, or I would make a feed list for whoever was going if I wasn't there. And that's how we figured it all out.
I remember feeding once a couple times, and I was like, oh, good Lord, what was it, performance pack? And then maintenance pack was like 10, 15 little tubs of Smart Pack. Oh, my gosh. What are they eating?
Yeah, we yeah.
The horses look amazing.
For a while.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think about that? That was helpful when Smart Pack was invented with the little tubs, and especially with someone like yourself with staff.
Yeah, they are very helpful. The thing you had to make sure of is that you actually had your order on time. They would put it on an automatic thing, but if we were away, I had to make sure I had some ahead of time. So I'd have to order a little extra, or say we were in Florida, I had to have it sent to Florida. The hardest thing about the Smart Packs is the trash.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the only hard thing I can say about it. Everything else, they each have one with their name on it. If it was something special, then there was a general one that we said, you know, that things that help their feet, their coat, their stomachs, you know, just a general Smart Pack that we made up a name for. And that was your performance pack.
The performance, the big long strip. Yep. That's amazing. And so now, would you think at Lion's Share with Peter Leone, that was your largest operation that you worked for? Did you have others? I know you worked for a handful of top farms over the years.
Yeah. Peter's was probably the largest at home. When we went to horse shows, I usually went with him. And we probably took about, I don't know, 20 to 30 horses. When I worked for Missy Clark, she didn't keep as many at home. However, when we went to horse shows, we had a lot of outside clients that would meet us there. So I would say we probably had 40 meet us at horse shows.
Wow.
You know, like total 40 horses at Missy's. So those were the two biggest that I've done.
Yeah, because Missy, you know, that's a different kind of scheduling. You've got all of these outside clients coming in, organizing what horses do what, but she doesn't leave a large group at home, right? There's not like an operation at the home.
Correct. Farm. Correct. Yes. She only leaves at home what doesn't show or is on vacation.
Yeah. Whereas with Peter's, I mean, that's a thriving business at home. Like that was, if you didn't go to the show, you were like, oh, like some people aren't here, but there were lessons, other trainers were there, horse trials happening. I mean, that was like a circus. I mean, that was incredible.
And there was some people there that never even showed at Peter's, you know, they just wanted to take lessons and ride.
Yep. Yep.
You know, they had that capability.
And then other thing you had to worry about was because billing is such an interesting thing, there's the billing aspect of everything, because there's a lot of individual charges for certain things that you do when you're running a stable, and that can be a nightmare. And Jennifer has to do the billing just for us, you know, here at the Horse Radio Network, and she's always pissed about that every month. So, you know, mainly because she has to deal with me. You know, it's mainly my fault. But
it is,
you know, but that is the other aspect of that when you have so many clients is just getting that right.
Yes. And we had a monthly billing, which I had to, at the end of every month, record for our accountant or secretary, whatever you'd like to give her a title. She was very good. And she had to have an understanding of horses as well as accounting, you know, to know exactly the horse terms.
Right, right.
But we had a monthly bill, and then every horse show I had to turn in, you know, what she needed to be able to do the bills for each horse show. So, yeah, it was a lot, you know.
And we all know that us horse people are so good at wanting to sit down at the desk and do the paperwork. We love that so much.
Well, and, you know, I ended up doing that on my days off usually, which was Monday. It's the only day you can use to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I would go in on Monday for a few hours and sit down at the computer where it was quiet and, you know.
Please tell me, Emily, you have somebody help with the billing.
No, I mean, I told you, I'm running my own circus here. I finally am getting a barn manager and someone that can like help me turn out horses and bathe when I'm done. But, yeah, up until today I had 12 horses and me. I have someone doing stalls, half the stalls at least.
Jeez.
For right now. Yeah, I know. We're building. I didn't know it was going to be so big. You know, people keep wanting to send horses and I'm like, all right, yes, yes. And I'm excited and everything. And I was like, wait a minute, this is crazy. I'll never be able to complete
and
it.
And you never say no.
And after you've
you never say no.
Never says no.
And after you've ridden 12 horses and cleaned 12 stalls and feed 12 horses twice a day, you get back in the house. The last thing you feel like doing is billing or paperwork.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But then when
it
you have to make that.
It would never surprise me when. Yeah. Somebody said, oh, there's another horse coming today, and one's going to go here, and then there's two coming tomorrow. That never surprised me. I'd be like, okay.
But then you have to make that grain order or the shavings delivery, and you're like, I must do billing because I must write a very large check next week to feed all of these special ponies.
Yeah, and there's more involved into it than just that, because if you have your food delivered and you call for an extra delivery, it costs more money to have it delivered another time during the week.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be, the more organized you are, the more money you can save.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. I've been getting into the bulk, bulk hay deliveries down here, the bulk shavings, and you do, every dollar counts. I mean, these horses, but if you're taking care of them properly, you know, the way that you manage them, you know, they're getting supplements, they're getting good grain and hay. You know, it is expensive. You do need to start being proactive. Well, if I get big enough, I'm making you come down here.
Okay, I'm in.
You can come and make my operation run smoothly and beautifully.
She'll be down in about October and leaving again in about April.
I know. I'll never trap her.
And the best thing about the magazine is I can do other things at the same time.
Right.
You see, as long as they're horse oriented.
No, it's great. That's like me with the clothing line. It's perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Well, we're so glad to hear from you, Shelley. Thank you for coming on. It's so educational.
Well, thank you. Okay. Well, thanks for having me.
We'll catch up with you soon. Good luck up there.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now I have to get my information over so I can be in the magazine.
Oh, yeah. Totally. It's cute. Did you saw it right on Facebook?
Yeah, it is cute. It's all ponies.
Yeah.
My kind of, I need to get. I need to be involved in that. I'm. You know how I feel about ponies.
I know. It's going to be great. Scooter can be like the poster child for rescue ponies.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Today, you are listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by S Equestrian and Walsh Products. And we have more guests coming up for you here, and of course, we have Emily with us, who is our jumping expert and correspondent and all around guru.
Tack cleaning expert. Stall cleaning expert.
Right.
You're going
Anything
with my
you
recent
know about,
job.
She can tell you about right now. But we're going to switch gears here and do something that I always enjoy doing, and that's hearing about some new products that are coming to the market. And we actually saw a couple versions of this while we were at Rolex, and Jennifer and I were talking about it this morning. So we'll have our guest here available in 1 second. But I did want to remind everybody who was not tuning in earlier in the show, if you listen on your computer or if you listen to go to horsesinthemorning.com and listen to the show live on your phone, if you have an iPhone, you can go to the Horse Radio Network app, and we now have a live player, which appears to be working well for everybody. And they said the sound quality is actually a little better too.
Oh, great.
So if you, you know, if you want to give it a try and you haven't downloaded the Horse Radio Network app yet, please do that. Just go to iPhone or Android. The Android updates will be available shortly. We do have a phone app for Android. It's just the live player is not available quite yet. We also have added the new show. The Rodeo Marketing Show is now available on there. And I'm happy to announce that there will be some other new shows hitting the network here shortly as well. So, a lot of things going on.
That's a big secret. I didn't know.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know.
I have to get caught up.
Oh boy.
I need to make a trip down there.
Yes, please do. It'll
come
be so
see
fun.
This big operation of yours.
And we'll go show under the covered indoor.
That you'll go
prove
show.
Everybody
I
wrong.
We'll watch you jump the horses.
Yes.
You know, driving,
you can set
we don't
jumps.
Like to jump so well. Driving and jumping don't go together.
It's no.
Not
very,
it's not usually, doesn't end well usually.
I'll tell you, At that Pin Oak charity horse show when I was down in Texas, you know, they would have the drivers come in. I mean, talk about drivers and jumpers not going together. I mean, we could not get our horses like down the aisle or out of the stalls.
With the carriages?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were like,
terrified. Those wimpy jumping horses.
You know, just all you heard was snorting and flag tails. And you're like, you know, I swear it's a Grand Prix horse, you know? I can't even get to the schooling area. Oh man, they would run them around the indoor. I know it is. I don't know what the problem is. I got a bunch right now that don't do trails well either. Like you're a horse. Like I want to go to the store. Take me there.
Like, I gotta understand. Get to McDonald's drive-through. Let's go.
Yeah. Like why can't I do that? No. We can't leave the box. Jumping and box turnout is also a bit scary at times.
All right. Let's go to our next guest. Speaking of boxes, let's talk about that next.
Yes, we have Jose Rivera from Easy Up Portable Stalls. Welcome to the show, Jose.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad we're able to get you on. You and I have been back and forth a bit over Facebook. I saw your products. I can't remember how it came up. And then, you know, I saw it somewhere and then I ended up liking the page. It is so cool. You guys do a fantastic job.
Thank you. We worked real hard at it, me and my dad.
And you're based in Florida, right?
Yes, ma'am. West Palm Beach.
West Palm Beach. Perfect location. You got two major circuits close by. You know, I drove by a property the other day out in Loxahatchee. I wonder if those were actually your stalls. They're a new property that went up. I love the look of them. They're beautiful. The wood is super quality.
Well, let's explain what they are for everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, well, me and my father came up with the idea. He wanted to make portable horse stalls, and I told him they needed to be unique. He agreed, and we needed something portable and something that defined portability. So we started looking into toolessness and something that was light to... once disassembled and heavy enough once assembled that they can be used for permanent or portable application. And that's what we came up with is the Easy Ups.
They really are beautiful. I'm on your Facebook page. You guys can check them out on Facebook for Easy Up. Easy Up Aluminum Portable Stalls. Is the name.
So, okay. So what makes them, I realize the, so it's like an aluminum frame, but there's wood on them and stuff too for the sides. And then you have the door, mm-hmm. you have the gated door. So what makes them portable? Do they break down? Can I fit them in a horse trailer? What's the portable part?
Yeah, they break down, 100% tool. This is all a pull pin system. And they have the ability to interlock with each other. So once you buy your primary stall, your next stalls can attach right to the side of them. And those will only be three wall stalls, completing thus, you know, each additional stall there. And they all include our sliding door, feeder window, our trademark sliding mechanical grills, which releases the wood just by sliding the grill up. It'll clip on and the wood itself will even come out
and
without any tools or
how small do they get when you're transporting them?
Say what?
How small does it get when you're transporting it? How hard is it to transport?
They'll come out by the panel. So it'll be a whole panel Well, when you're transporting them, you got to realize that you are transporting panels.
And how long are the panels?
You do still need, the panels, they're either 10 foot or 12 foot.
Okay.
And with those two measurements, we make our 10 by 10s or our 10 by 12s or our 12 by 12s, which are our standard sizes.
Is it possible with the configuration to take one of the partitions out and connect the stall to make essentially like a folding stall?
Absolutely. That's what our back-to-back design offers, which, you know, we got videos of that on Facebook and YouTube as well. We have a back-to-back system. That's great. You probably save the most money with that system, and it offers, you know, a lot more versatility. For example, once, you know, say you got six stalls, three in the front, three in the back, you can take that center divider out and use that as a folding stall and have the whole 20 foot or 24 foot, depending on, you know, the size that you chose.
That's great.
Okay, so how, because it is aluminum, you know, I have to ask the question, how sturdy is it? You know, Emily has these crazy horses. And
not all crazy.
So most, when they're kicking the walls and, you know, being horses, you know, how sturdy are they?
They're very sturdy. They offer a lot of flexibility. Our aluminum for the frame is an 1/8-inch thick, so it's not your average patio or screen aluminum. You know, it's pretty tough stuff. And, you know, when it comes to the horses, we offer two lumber kits, you know, depending on temperament. And one of them is the 1x6. Which is the one we originally offer, or they can opt to upgrade for a 2x6.
Yes, that's what I need.
That's what you need, yeah.
Yes. For the, But now, Glenn, they also have pony stalls.
Do they? Okay, so you do make pony stalls too?
Yeah, they're not part of our standard list, but yeah, we've made plenty of pony stalls.
So now, you buy it by the stall, so obviously you can set up a block of stalls or two stalls or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you buy it by the stalls, how it works?
No, we just buy the raw materials and we build them.
No, I meant I buy it by the stall from you.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
Or you can buy it by the panel. Say you just want to stall fronts because you already have, little enclosures there. They just need the front. You can just buy the stall front. At that point, you know, it'll be up to you how toolless it's going to be, because they're made to be toolless with our complete system.
So it's just pins? I don't need any tools?
No tools required at all.
Wow.
If you have to pick up a screwdriver, you know, they're not ours.
I have to tell you, like, it is so intelligent, the design, you know, like we're all, discussing that my circus has gone crazy and I've got too many horses, not enough help. I've got 12, going to be 13 today. It is a huge time saver to not have to open that door to feed the horse, to have a feed window there. Just open, feed, you know, like that is a deal maker.
Yeah, they're very slick. I mean, the fact that they just go up in 20 minutes, they come down in 20 minutes.
Wow.
You know, I got the video where I did it with the kids. We took them down and put it up, you know, relocated it, put it back up, and it was the top 23 minutes. So, you know,
that's amazing.
I figured for the average person, 20 minutes to take it down and 20 extra minutes to put it up, it's a really good
So give a couple
really
of,
good deal.
Give a couple of ideas of what the use case scenarios would be. What are people using them for mostly? Because they don't
Believe
have
it or
a
not,
roof, right? It's just open on the top.
Right. We do make a, well, we haven't deployed it yet, but we do make a frame, a roof frame. We just don't have the tarp for it yet, because we were working on that to make a toolless top. But believe it or not, most of our customers that have purchased, aside from like two or three of them, have used it for permanent application.
Yeah, that's what I look at it as well. I mean, yes, it's awesome that you can take them out down and put them up. I guess what's most exciting is that it's so easy to put them up that you can actually where I'm at with Bertrand, somebody from your company stopped by the other day to drop a card there in Loxahatchee because he was in contact with somebody. He's thinking about doing that with his lower barn. I mean, they look beautiful. They're easy. You can decide where to put them. It's not huge, you know, undertaking of construction. And it's just to be able to poof, barn. Like, who doesn't want that? You can just start bringing in more horses.
Yeah, and the durability is just great. You know, the powder coat finish. It's really easy to clean up. They're just a real slick design.
Yeah, no, they totally are. So you're developing then, right now you have the frame and then there'll be a tent sort of covering. Is that how it's going to go?
Can you repeat that question again?
I saw it on your Facebook. I was looking at there was maybe like an eight block of stall or so, and then there was a tent over it. Is that the frame and the tent that you're designing?
No, the tent on those, which is a beautiful tent. It's amazing, actually. The customer had already purchased the tent. We went and looked at what we had to work with, and we made the stall dimensions according to what the customer needed.
That's a good idea, actually. You could just take a regular tent and put the stalls in it like they do for horse shows.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Yeah. I was like, wow. I mean, that's
Jose,
great.
What do these run? Are they individually priced? How does that work?
They are individually priced. They're not cheap by any means, but our prices do include the 1x6 lumber kit. Our 10x10, for example, is the smallest standard size we make, and that one will run $2,500.
And that's about what you would pay to have a stall built at your barn. So
yeah,
it's about the same.
Well, you would think, but. You would think, but, you know, most of the customers, you know, that want them cheaper somehow, they'll sit there and tell me that they can get them cheaper building them themselves or having somebody build them for them. You know, they're not understanding that these are portable, they're toolless, and they're handmade, which takes time.
And you know what? It's for a certain application. So that's, you know, it's,
yeah.
It's got a certain use case, and that's why sometimes you'll pay a little bit more for something that is portable. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And like paying somebody to build it is very different from then me like materializing an 8-stall barn in my property today in 26 minutes. That's different.
Yeah, that's
I'm just
going
to say.
Well, it's 20 minutes for the customer. For me, it takes, you know, quite some time to actually build it. I actually got to use tools.
I bet. Well, they're beautiful. Tell us, how do people order? How can they contact you?
It's just as simple as a phone call. And what we do is we do a contract to protect us both. And we ask for 50% of the total in hand. And once it's built and they have it, then we collect the rest.
And where is it on Facebook again?
It is under Easy Up Portable Horse Stalls.
Easy Up
You can find it on Facebook under Jose Rivera.
All right, very good. Well, thank you, Jose, for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Great product. Good luck.
Thanks for having me, and have a great day.
Bye.
You know, this is perfect for horse people because they always have more horses than stalls. Especially you horse girls. You're always going to end up with more horses than stalls.
On short notice.
Yeah, right.
You know, right. So all of a sudden, you're like...
He was available. I had to get him.
Yeah. Yes. Or like somebody will call. I mean, like I have my lucky number 13 horse coming today, and I didn't hear until yesterday, okay, I've got 40 stalls to work with, but in a situation where you didn't and you don't want to say no, it's great business. This is a very good client that I'm bringing in. And you just, my gosh, to have flexibility like that, to say like, boom, okay, we've got a 4-block of stalls. Or if you have stallions, you know, I've got naughty stallions. Like, how cool would that be if I could like remove them from the barn
right,
and put them.
You better
on
get
the back
two
corner.
Inch. You better get the 2-inch planks, and not the 1-inch planks for your naughty stallions.
The delinquents can go on the back end of the property. I mean, it sounds like line punchers.
It's like time out. You guys are going in the corner.
Totally. Just everybody be quiet. Stop the screaming. Oh my gosh.
Now if you could make them soundproof, it'd even be better.
Oh yeah. No, I was joking with somebody that came on there like, your place is so loud. I'm like, I know. It's like Lion Country Safari here. I mean, it really sounds like that. We got the 4-year-old. I mean, it's just they let you know anytime anybody's coming in and out of any stall.
The Jennifer's new horse is the loudest horse I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, he's got that big chest. You know?
If you're standing beside him, your ears will hurt. He is just I got to get a recording of it one of these days. He is the loudest horse.
Is he a thoroughbred or no?
He's a thoroughbred. And he is just big. You're right. Big chest. And it's just like, oh my God, he has good lungs. His lungs should not be a problem with that horse.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is he is big. Yeah, you should record it. That stuff is hilarious. I'm going to record my big stallion and we'll have a competition.
Well, let's go to our next guest. I had an opportunity to meet the Walsh Products girls over the weekend at Rolex, and it was a lot of fun seeing them there out and about among all the different vendors there. And this is Leslie from Walsh. Hey, Leslie.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Now, are you recovering? Are you?
Barely, yes. I think it's a week-long hangover after Rolex.
It is.
Takes a while. Yes.
You know, it's different than other horse shows, and I was trying to figure out why, because other horse shows, you walk a lot and you do that, but for some reason, Rolex, maybe because you always have a bad day of weather, and it's just, there's a lot of walking, but it's just different than other horse shows.
I think there's just an energy level that is completely different. The eventing world certainly does know how to do that. And it's days, 4 days of watching the same competitors compete for that final day. So they start at 70 horses and they got down to 54. So you really get caught up in the competition. But certainly the weather, of course, Kentucky in April, you're going to have rain. So that, that makes people a little, they're diehard fans, so they're going to show up. But for us working it, yes, it makes you tired. It does.
Well, it seemed to be
good
for
the
vendors.
It's incredible.
It seemed to be good for the vendors because there was enough like rain time that people actually came in and shopped. So that was all good. Vendors actually pray for rain at Rolex because then everybody comes in and shops.
Oh, and there is shopping.
Yeah, so people come in and get out of the rain. Yes, it's true.
Wow. So you guys were all at the big party. Next year, I'm going to go. I promise.
Oh, you have to come and see it. You have to come and see it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I don't care if you're an eventer or care about eventing. If you're a horse owner in the backyard and, you're only half interested in it, I highly recommend for every horse person, I don't care whether you're English or Western or whatever, Rolex has to be on your bucket list.
Everybody says that. It's like such an event, and the energy, like Leslie, you're saying, and just, with all the horses and the shopping, just everybody says that it's such an epic event.
And there's nothing like cross country out there with 40,000 people, and you do walk about 10 miles from the end of the park to the other. At least it seems that way. But
it's a rite of passage.
Yeah, that's right.
It certainly is a bucket list. You have to do it once.
You do. And now with the tailgating they have going on there, we stopped at a couple of those. Shout out to Karen at Kentucky Performance Products and of course, Eventing Nation and everybody. It's just, and you know what? We stopped at a couple of others, just stopped at their tailgates. And I walked up, and you know me, I don't have nobody's a stranger. I walked up and they were offering us food, and I could have eaten my way from one end of that park to the other that day.
That's basically what we do. We make the rounds.
That's what I want to do. Let's do that next year. We'll go tailgate hopping.
You're more than welcome.
Anybody will take you in, and people were like, they had smokers going and every kind of alcohol you could imagine. I saw
that's
at the tailgate.
Yeah, that's great.
And lots of bourbon. It is Kentucky.
Yes.
It's Kentucky. It's just great for horse sport.
Emily,
to have something
like that.
You
and I
would
be good at that tailgate hopping with perfect strangers. We'll have to do that next year.
We're doing it. Yes. I need an HRN shirt so we can be twins.
We'll get that done. We'll do that for next year.
Oh, man, that's great. Okay, so Leslie from Walsh Products, what we're really talking about, is coming on with the new product pick. So, Leslie, fill us in. I'm very excited about what you chose here.
So we have, and few people know this, again, what we talked about before the last time I was on, is we have other products other than halters. Hashtag beyond halters. so we do have a couple of choices in boots, protective boots. The most basic is our front sport boot, front and hind sport boots, and they're a wool back fleece. Perfect for just a light exercise. You're not going to show in these, but they're perfect for exercising. You hose them off. You can throw them in the washing machine. And all of our sponsored riders love these boots. They order them multiple. All the horses go in them for a hack or a light workout or something like that. And they look really good. They look like just nice and soft and fluffy, perfect for a horse, you know, just daily exercise. So those are the Protect boots, Walsh Protect boots. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about is we are the North American distributors for Zandona boots. And so this covers off our more competition protective boot. So you've got a tendon boot, and we also do a full coverage for dressage. The tendon boots have a really good ergonomic design. There's a layer of gel protection, then carbon fiber in the strike zone. They also come with an air cooling system, some little spots where the air can actually get in and cool the leg, and very flexible, but enough sturdiness to protect your horse. There's fit fetlock, so it's a clicking mechanism, and there's also some Velcro options.
Oh, those are nice. I'm on your website. About those. Yeah, those are real nice. I I'm looking at them, I do see them out and about, like in the Grand Prix schooling area down here at WEF. People do like these.
Yeah, so Laura Kraut, Nick Skelton, we have a bunch of riders using them who absolutely love them. Richie Maloney and his crew, he's using them. And the reason we took them to Rolex is they are eventually working on a cross-country boot, but certainly these boots can work in stadium and they can work for a warm-up for dressage.
So those are the white ones. Crowd,
yes.
The white ones. Okay.
Yeah. The Zandona King Carbon.
Okay.
Much more substantial, than a wrap. But when you've got, a competition like Rolex on the line, you probably want a little more protection than normal for a warm up. So, you know, Adventures, I find, open to new ideas. And so we took them. We got lots of interest. People were really excited about a new brand that they haven't seen in their sport before. The show jumping world does know them, and they're very popular in Europe. We're just really getting into them here in the United States.
Yeah, this is, these are fairly new. I love... You know, growing up, we always used like leather open fronts, and even the back boots were leather, or the weighted boots were leather. But, you know, it's a nice idea and you think it's going to oil up nicely, but you still get sort of like pressure points and rubs, and it's weird. Yep. And so then everyone was into the fleece, and then there was like the Roma boots or the, you know, Escadron, whatever, with the shell. But with the contour design like this and the airflow, I really, really like these a lot. You can tell this is a very high tech boot, but it's understated. It's not like, you know, crazy looking. It's but it's smart, even
and
like
it's
the tabs.
Lightweight. Yeah. It's lightweight. And again, the options with Velcro or the fit system, the locking system, very secure. And like I said, it's, you know, it's word of mouth. It's top riders like Laura and Nick and Richie using them and just loving them and giving up other brands. Of course, I'm not going to say who they are, but giving up other brands to get into this. So we're excited about it.
You can just tell. I mean, it's super quality. The contour shape of the boot, it just is going to rest nicely. And now tell me about these fetlock boots. Are these similar, like they're a little bit with a block inside or with the pressure pinch, or what are they?
Yeah. So you've got the two versions. You've got the fit fetlock. We have an ankle boot for a little more coverage. The fetlock boot, and it comes in the the fit locking system or with Velcro.
And then they are coming out with a single strap Velcro.
We don't have those in yet, but they are coming. So they're expanding the line and covering off all the options.
So your normal junior fetlock boot, that's just going to be a full coverage ankle boot. And then your air fit, so those are going to be comparable to like a hind end.
Similar, like a
Veriduce or one of these other ones that you're going to grab with a pressure. Yeah. And so do they have a block inside or they don't?
No block, no.
Okay, it's just smooth. That's nice because sometimes those just get to be a bit much.
Yeah. Really, really nicely fit. Again, big on ergonomics and big on quality, durability, and emphasizing that strike zone with the carbon.
Yeah, I love that. That's really nice. And the gel, it really, I mean, I've had a couple of horses over the years with just sensitive skin. So it really, really matters. I mean, exactly where the pressure points are. Is it, I mean, you're not really buying a custom boot, but you need to get something that practically, you know, molds customly to your horse's ankle. I mean, God forbid you even get the sand up in there and get a nasty rub and then you're getting, you know, a bacteria infection and you can't show next week. There's all kind of issues, but these,
it does spiral.
Before you know it, you're calling the vet and you're like, I don't know what happened. But these are nice, beautifully built boots. I mean, you guys have to check them out. Walshproducts.com. These are really nice. And nobody else is carrying these, right?
No. We are the North American distributor. So, you know, like any new product in the hunter jumper world, it takes some time to get people to switch and try something new. We are creatures of habit, especially in the hunter jumper world. So it's been a little bit slow, but we're starting to see that pick up. And with the testimonials from our riders, it's really starting to take off. So Dover just picked them up. Some of the big retailers are starting to do that. So yeah, we're excited. We're really excited.
Oh, that's great.
And well, they've got new products coming.
Oh, really? Fun.
Yes.
What about any like bell boots or grab boots or something?
We do our own bell boots, which people love. We do a fleece top bell boot, sheepskin bell boot. And people love them. Again, it comes down to our quality and our name. Of course, you're going to spend maybe a little bit more money, but they will last. They will absolutely last for you.
Yeah, those are important. Well, it helps that you have all of these top riders repping the gear, I have to say.
Yes,
get the word out there. Right? I mean, the product is super, but then to also have it on, you know, Laura Crowd and Nick Skelton, Richie Maloney, I mean, these are top, top riders. And they wouldn't wear it if it wasn't great. You know, like they don't have to.
Well, that's exactly. And we're close friends with Laura and Nick, who really helped us with the rest of our line in developing some other training products. So they were more than happy to look at this. They're actually the ones that brought it to us. So it's been a really good partnership.
Oh, that's cool. I love these. So you guys check them out. Zandona boots. There's all different styles here on walshproducts.com. And thank you so much, Leslie, for checking in. I know you're tired after Rolex, after the big party.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Leslie.
We'll talk to you next month.
Okay, thanks. Take care, you guys. Bye.
Well, before we wrap for today, do you want to leave everybody with a quick training tip?
Okay. We will do probably my most used training tactic of the last circus couple of weeks that I've had too many horses. I've got stallions, 3 stallions, 2 broodmares in the mix, which is never the same sort of handling techniques.
It's
that's what we're doing. There's actually been some breeding happening as well, but you just to have that many different kinds of horses in the mix, you know, we've got, you know, older 11, 12 year old show horses, which are, you can just walk on the buckle, down to 4-year-old stallions, you know, standing on their hind legs, horses that haven't been in a wash rack in 5 years because they're broodmares. We've got it all over the board. So what I think is a really good training tip, just as ground management, working with horses, period, there's one thing that is always the same, whether you have a show horse or you have a breeding horse, a stallion, whatever, and that is how they walk on the lead. It is so important. That's how you start things. I think some people get a little bit over ambitious and they want to use the lip chain, you know, the stead chain and it's more power, more you know, force. And that's just not really the way you want the horses to be responsive on your fingertips, like an older horse, even if it's a broodmare. You're not going to get to it the first day perfectly, but you start the process. And the process is when they come out of that stall, they walk by your shoulder. Their shoulder is by your shoulder. They don't creep forward and they don't hang back. And that's your job to keep them right there. And then the brain stays with you. If they are a dragger, they're taking you forward. That's not acceptable. If they're sluggish, they're behind. That's not acceptable. So we have two things that help in those situations. When they drag forward, which a lot of them do, and you know what? They're eager. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But if you have a stallion, that's not really a good thing. They need to stay at your shoulder. So going with the horse that wants to go forward, I always like to use the end of my lead rope, and I can swing it just a little bit on the front. If he gets too far forward, it just catches their attention and it keeps them back. Very little force. I don't yank on the stud chain and yell and lose track. You know, the horses that want to go forward, they want to a lot of times cut in front of you and, you know, run a circle around you or do something stupid. That's not acceptable ever. So the lead rope, you can swing it a little bit, catch the attention. If they go to cut in front of you, raise your hand. Raise your hand up in the eye, right in the face. Nope, you can't come across, can't come across. You never let that horse come across you. The shoulder stays at your shoulder. That takes a little bit of time. They always want to come to the left in front of you because they feel that pressure. So consequently, when you're going anywhere, you turn that horse away from you. You don't never let him turn towards you, he or she, depending on how wild they are, is how strong you have to be, maybe with the lead rope, with the hand, maybe you use a little bit of voice. But whenever you're turning, you use the hand, pick it up in the eye if you need to, create sort of a visual pressure, and you turn the horse away from you always. Now, for the horse that comes back, that's sometimes a little bit more difficult. Maybe they're spooky, maybe they are just slow, whatever it is. We have many different behavioral issues. You kind of can do the same thing with the lead rope in some instances. Maybe somebody who's just a touch sluggish. I like those long lead ropes. I don't always use a chain. You know, it's not always about, you know, manhandling them. You got to be smarter, not stronger. And then you get a horse that's responsive and light.
Says
rather
the
than
girl that's 5 foot two, about exactly. 90 pounds.
You should see my stallion. Wait till you see Hail Glory. I mean, the dude is like a Budweiser Clydesdale. And he does not have a stud chain, I will tell you. He live cover breeds and he's the best behaved of the bunch. Everybody else at this stage is rogue. We're in serious training. But I've had him the longest and he's a good boy anyways. But yeah, I mean, there's no, I'll never win. It's not about strength. So these ones, they want to get a little bit behind. You've got a long lead like that. You can actually, without them realizing that it's you, you can give a little cluck, a smooch, whatever, and swing that lead rope around. You can tap them on the hocks, tap them on the hip, go forward. And then they're right by the shoulder. You do not want them behind or forward really ever because the brain's not in the right place. They've got to be right there. Then if you've got one that's spooky, then that gets a little bit more, you got to have a little more touch with that horse because you can't just smack it, you know, tap it to get it to go forward. Sometimes the baby horses, the broodmares, they haven't been handled so much. They really do get stuck like a baby horse in the brain and they plant all 4 feet. They can't go forward. So with that horse, what you want to do is you've got to move the feet. Always moving the feet. Sometimes, hey, you know what? It might actually be backwards. I know they were already going backwards, but the brain, you tell that horse that, you know, I'm moving your feet. We're moving. If you can get it moving away from you with the little hand trick with the lead rope by the nose, move them away. Generally, if you can just keep those feet moving, the horse is eventually going to come to your side and follow you. But that is key, I would say, with all groundwork. The horse has got to be at your shoulder. Fewer accidents happen, the stallions that strike out, the horses that spook, you know, if they spook and wheel and, you know, they're way out in front of you, like you're in trouble for sure. If they're way behind you, you're going to lose them. You're going to end up on the wrong side or get the hind end coming around. So that is what I say the most important training tip, really, just in general, all horses, is that walking. How do they walk?
And that again, builds the foundation for everything else anyway.
For everything. Getting them in the wash rack.
And the most important thing there is respect, right? I mean, it's just...
Yes. Yeah. And you're together. You know, when you get separated by too much length in the lead, you're not together anymore.
Do you think because of your size, and I'm not saying this is a derogatory thing, do you think that because of your size, you're more conscious of that than somebody that's 6 foot one like I am?
For sure. Absolutely. Because I could get just trampled by one of these big horses, or I'm small enough, you know, I can get knocked over. And I've had it happen before. And
I mean, let's face it, they're going to knock over the 6 foot one guy too. It doesn't matter. I mean,
they have it in them for sure. Or at least you're going to get like a bloody nose or, something's going to happen, get stepped on, you know, that you don't want to happen. That stepping on is such a thing too. You know, that's not only do they have to be at your shoulder, but they need to be like a foot off of you.
Yeah, both Jennifer and I, when we got her new horse, he does have the personal space issue.
Yes.
Nigel just didn't understand personal space. He had been turned out in a field for 2 years, you know, and pretty much untouched. And so we both had the black and blue feet after the first week, you know, with him. And Jennifer's gone through the same thing. And it's interesting, Jennifer, because you use almost the same technique that Emily uses. But it's interesting because they don't understand personal space. And it's just, without violence, it's teaching them personal space.
Totally. And like, even the babies, like I've got the little filly right now. She's 2 weeks old. I mean, she is all over me. She steps on my feet if I'm not careful. She tries to lean on you. You know, you're just like, all right. I mean, that's a component. They definitely have to learn that. That's a learned behavior. So that's you got to keep them at the shoulder and like a foot off of you. If they're getting too close in your space, you know, their neck, they're pretty, you can kind of control them by the neck. You know, they're not as strong. So you can even just push them on the neck over, push them on the shoulder. If I've got one flagging the tail and snorting like a stallion at the show for the first time, like I'll keep my left hand on the rope and then my right fingers in the shoulder. Like, I'm here. Like, don't come over here. Don't go forward. Don't go backwards. And don't come over here. Right. And they stay, you know, they kind of stay in the box and then they're like, okay, we're doing it together. And it's more of a, you know, a training event rather than like you're dragging the mule somewhere or they're dragging you down the road or nobody wants that.
Very good. Thank you, Emily. Appreciate that. And where can people find you?
Well, I am S Equestrian, ECEEquestrianCo.com or on Facebook.
By the way, we saw some S Equestrian this weekend.
And did you really?
And I will have you know that one of the Walsh ladies was wearing an S Equestrian shirt.
Oh, that's right. Yes, she looks so cute in the picture.
Did. Yep.
Oh,
and fun, we saw, fun. Where did we see one of the riders or somebody was doing S Equestrian too? We saw over the weekend. So we did see some of their shirts in the wild.
Nice. Yep. I love it. Now I have to go next year. Case closed.
So we did see him at sequestrian.com and also on Facebook, right?
Facebook, Emily Thompson, or The Jumping Radio Show.
Very good. Thank you, everybody, again. You can find all of our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. Past episodes of Emily, just go search for Jumping Episode. It'll bring up all the past episodes, and we've had years worth now at this point. And you can follow us also on Facebook, Horses in the Morning. I put that video up there of Lainey Ashkers getting a bunch of comments.
So cool.
And you can follow us on Twitter. We don't talk about that too often, but I think we have about 20,000 followers there at Horse Radio. And the apps, iOS or Android, the brand new updated iOS phone app seemed to be working for everybody today. And they said the sound was a little better. It'll be on Android. Don't worry. All you Android lovers, I am one too. It will be out on Android here in the next week or so. We're trying to fix a couple other little issues we have with the Android side. And if you missed the live show, you can still listen to the recorded version on our website, on the affiliate websites, on the apps, on iTunes, or any podcast player.
No excuse.
Somebody asked me what podcast player I use. I actually use one called Pocket Casts. I think it costs like $3.99, but it is a very good player because I listen to more than just our shows. So I can listen to anything on there. All of our shows are on it. Pocket Casts is the name of it. I like how it works for starting and stopping and downloading and you could and all of that stuff. It's very sophisticated. So I really do like that. So that's what I use to listen to podcasts, Pocket Casts. And thanks to our sponsors, of course, Walsh and S Equestrian. We appreciate you both. Emily, we'll see you again next month, if not sooner, if I decide to go to the beach.
Exactly. I'm here. The beach is here.
Okay.
Thanks, Emily. See you soon, guys.
Bye-bye, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow, Jamie's back, and we're going to be starting our coverage. We're going to have 3 days in a row of Jamie and Glenn, and we're starting our coverage of that little thing called the Kentucky Derby coming up
Oh boy.
This weekend.